It's a privilege to be able to open God's Word tonight. I count it a joy, a privilege to be called to the ministry, to be a preacher of the Word of God, and I'm always thankful for opportunities to be able to do that. And thank you all for coming as well to be around God's Word. If you have your Bibles, if you would mind, turn them to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. While you're turning there, if you didn't bring your Bible tonight, it's page number 958 in the pew Bible in front of you. Most of the pews have some kind of a Bible there, but 958 is the page number for that. Okay, so we have our 1 Corinthians passage that we've been studying through, working through the last several months. And Pastor Brandon this morning spoke from this passage, 1 Corinthians 11, and I'm just going to continue on that. But if you're visiting with us tonight, here at Bethel Baptist Church, we are all about Christ being supreme and the gospel being preached unashamedly. And this passage is about Christ. It's about the cross. It's about what Christ did for us. And if you're visiting with us here tonight and you don't know about Christ, you don't know about the cross, I encourage you to listen and pay attention, because tonight you're going to get a good representation of what Christ did for us. Let's go ahead and take a second and read this passage. I'll read it out loud. You follow along as I read. We'll begin reading 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17 and following. God's Word says, "But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give you direction when I come." So, if you're not sure what this passage is talking about, basically, the idea is we have the Lord's Supper. It's a pretty famous picture here. The Last Supper that Jesus had in the upper room with his disciples. We even portrayed it in our God's Masterpiece production that we do sometimes for Easter's. We put it up on the actually above the baptistry here. How many of you've seen this presentation of God's Masterpiece, it's called? But one scene that we do is the Lord's Supper. Very powerful to think about Jesus and one of the last times he has together with his disciples, with his friends. And this passage is important. This Lord's Supper is important. And it's specifically important to Baptists. We are a Baptist church. We have specific distinctives that we like to follow and abide by. Maybe some of you are familiar with Baptist distinctives. How many of you have seen this acrostic before? B-A-P-T-I-S-T-S. And you can see there what the different ones stand for. We believe this at Bethel Baptist Church. Bible, authority, and goes the list down. But look at this one here. Two ordinances, believer's baptism and communion. And that's what our text is about tonight, communion, or the Lord's table, or the Last Supper. And there's a man who preached in our pulpit from last Sunday, Kevin Bowder. Dr. Bowder wrote a book entitled Baptist Distinctives and New Testament Church Order. And if you want to know more information about why we're Baptist, why you are a Baptist, then I encourage you to read this book. It's excellent. And even some of the things I'll be bringing out tonight will be from this man's book. You can get it from the bookstore, or you can even borrow my copy if you want. But I'd like to do an overview just real quickly of the Lord's table, or communion, or the Lord's Supper. First of all, the origin. Where did the Lord's Supper come from? Well, it originated in that upper room. The first time together, or one of the many times together that the disciples were eating with Jesus. But this was a special time, because he took the bread, and he took the cup, and he used it as symbols of his body that was going to be broken on the cross. So the upper room with Jesus is where it originated. Next, what is it? Well, we see that it is the eating of the unleavened bread and the drinking of the fruit of the vine. And if you are here tonight and you're not sure what communion is, basically we take the elements, the unleavened bread, we take the fruit of the vine, we pass it out to the congregation, and we take part in eating of those elements as a symbol of Christ and what he did on the cross. We also have who, and this is an important part, who can take part in the communion? Who can take part in the Lord's Supper? It's very specific that this is for followers of Christ. This is for believers. This is an opportunity for believers, those that know Christ as their Savior, to take part in this special ordinance, communion. And I just want to just mention quickly, parents, sometimes this is a tough one to decide. When your child is ready to take part in communion, and I'm facing this right now with my two older children, they ask me, when that plate's being passed, why can't I take one, Daddy? Or can I have one of the little wafers or the little cups? And we take time to talk about it, not necessarily at that very moment, but in times past we've talked about who gets to partake in this Lord's Supper. And this is specifically for Christians, for those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's been a time in their life where they've realized their sinfulness, that sin, their sin separates them from God. They've turned from their sins. The word is repent. They turn from their sin and their life of sin and living for themselves. And they turn to Christ, that he died on the cross for them. And their faith is no longer in themselves anymore, or any other God, but in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross. And then following Christ, that's an important step. But these are the ones that participate in what the Lord's Supper is. And then we have, just want to make sure we're on the right slide, why we do it. We do it to remember Jesus. In the words we just read, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. To remember who he is and what he did for us. So let's look now at what the problem was at Corinth. Go back to your text in chapter 11, verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. So the church of Corinth was having a problem. When they were taking communion, when they were taking the Lord's Supper, They completely lost sight of what they were there for. Their motives were completely off. It was very self, eating what they wanted, when they wanted, getting drunk even from the wine. And this was the problem. This was not what Jesus Christ intended for his church to do when it came to the Lord's Supper. John MacArthur, who's a very well-known theologian, he states, "The love feast and communion celebration had become so perverted that it was a sinful, selfish mockery. They could not legitimately say it was devoted to the Lord, since it was not honoring to him." And I hope that as a church and as a Christian, that when you take part in the Lord's Supper, that you don't lose sight of why we're doing it, that it's for remembering Christ. It's for an opportunity to worship him. It's not about us. It's not about the opportunity to focus on ourselves and eating and the drinking. That's not even the point. It's about Christ. It's about the cross. So this was a problem that this church was having. So let's apply this specifically to us. Application. Application means to take something, and what does it mean to me? How can I take what this verse is saying and apply it to my life? Let's take the application of first of all, the backward reflection. Now, when I use this word reflection, I'm not talking about reflection like from a mirror. I'm talking about reflection as in considering something, thinking upon it, looking at it. So when it comes to the Lord's table as a church, as an individual, there needs to be a backward reflection. What I mean by that is a chance to think upon what Christ has already done for us. And these texts here, we won't take time to look at them, but they are the texts of Christ and his death and all that he went through for us on the cross. How his body was broken, how his blood was spilled out for us. So there's a backward reflection, first of all. Now, I'm going to use, I like object lessons, visuals. I have here a pair of binoculars, and I need a child volunteer to come up here for me. Abby, I saw you first. Come on up. You're going to have to be able to stand up here for a little bit, though, okay? Come on up here. So we all know how binoculars work, right? I use these binoculars for going to sporting events when you're really high up. When I'm in the deer stand and that deer's really far away and I'm watching him coming in. But we know how binoculars work. It helps us see something, helps us reflect upon something. So, Abby, I want you to take these binoculars and I want you to show us backward reflection like this guy. Go ahead. Put the binoculars up to your eyes and look that way. Backward. Can everybody see her okay? Here, why don't you step up here? Don't fall off the edge of the stage, though. Okay. So we're looking backward. When we come to the table, we are looking back to what Jesus Christ has already done. The next reflection, we have backward reflection. We have forward reflection. Okay, Abby, you want to turn this way? We have forward reflection. What do you think the forward reflection would be? What would we be looking at going forward? Well, our verse is verse 26. You look at the text. Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So when we take the Lord's Supper, we're looking forward to the day that Jesus comes back. The day that we are able to take part of this communion with Jesus himself. Go with me to Matthew 26, please, in your Bibles. Matthew 26 and verse 29. Matthew 26, 29, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Okay, so we have something to look forward to coming. Forward reflection. Seeing Jesus one day again and taking part in this communion with him in his Father's kingdom. So we have forward reflection. When you come to the Lord's table, look forward. Reflect upon what Jesus is going to do still. Our next one, backward reflection, forward reflection, upward. What do you think the upward reflection would be? Thinking of putting a reflection upon Jesus himself. Let's look at this text, 1 Corinthians 10. Go back maybe a few pages if you're back to 1 Corinthians 11. So upward reflection, Abby, what does that look like? What do you think? Upward. Go ahead, show us. Up, up, up. Keep going. All the way up. Okay. That's good. Thank you. What did you see? See some lights? Upward reflection. Let's look at our verse here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, it is not a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? So there is a big term out there, transubstantiation, that some people believe in. Transubstantiation teaches that the actual bread and wine becomes the body of Christ when you drink it and when you eat it. We do not believe that here at Bethel. We believe that Jesus is present when we take part in the communion. He's present always. And this is the idea of upward reflection, that he is here with us when we are in church, when we are as a body taking part in the Lord's table, that Jesus is with us. So there's an upward reflection, reflecting upon him and who he is. Verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 10. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So basically, stay away from idolatry. You can't be believing in other gods or taking part in this communion and doing it as a way of altering it to another god as well. This is only for our God, for our Savior. And then verse 31, very, very common, familiar verse in chapter 10. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we have to remember that this is for God's glory, that everything that we're doing, eating and drinking, is for the glory of God. This is our upward reflection, putting the focus on Christ, doing it for him. What is your motive when you take part in the Lord's Supper? So, and there's a picture of our upward reflection. Is that what you did, Abby? Pretty close, right? So we have backward reflection. We have forward reflection. We have upward. And did you guess what the last one is? Inward. Very good. Now, I looked and looked and looked for a picture of someone, I don't know, somehow distorting the binoculars and trying to get it. The best one I could find was this one. Obviously, this little boy is looking in the binoculars or whatever that is the wrong way. But Abby, can you show us? Go ahead and turn around the wrong way. Yep. So now there's inward. We're looking inside ourselves to see how we are. Where are we with Christ? I will take those from you now. You can have a seat. Thank you so much. Let's give her a hand. She did a good job. Where do we stand with Christ? How is your relationship with Christ? Go back to our text, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, inward reflection, then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So this is a big call for us to make sure that when we go before the Lord's table, to make sure that we have looked inside, confessed any known sin, that we're right with God, that first of all, you know that you're saved. Okay, because that's a prerequisite for taking part in the Lord's Supper. But examine your own life and how you stand with Christ. And God doesn't expect us to be perfect. There's always something that we can do better at. But as you're sitting there before you take the Lord's Supper, reflecting upon yourself and how you stand with Christ, how your love is for Him, if you're loving Him truly with all your heart, in your soul and your mind. There must be an inward reflection. So the next time that this cup and this wafer is passed, which actually here at our church is going to be December 2nd. Pastor Brandon is going to be speaking that Sunday morning. And we're going to have a special Lord's Supper in our Sunday morning service, December 2nd, to look forward to. The next time that this cup is passed and this bread is passed, to examine your own self for backward, forward, upward, and then inward. Reflection. Making sure that when you approach this table, that it is a serious thing. It's not just, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. It's what we're doing here at church. It's not to be done flippantly. I want to read a passage from Dr. Bowder's book. This is page 72, in case you want to look at it later. He states, "In sum, the Lord's table is both a memorial and a fellowship service. In both these respects, it is all about communion." You think about that word communion in itself, communion. Communing together as a church, coming around the table, unity in the body of Christ. It should be a high point in every believer's communion relationship with Jesus. We should be moved by the recollection of the terrible price that Jesus had to pay for the forgiveness of our sins. We should be moved by the recognition of His presence with us at His table. We should be moved with compassion and care for our brethren to whom we have been united in His body. And we should be moved to examine ourselves, confessing any unrepented sin that impedes our communion with Jesus. We should be moved with anticipation, knowing that Jesus will bring us into His bodily presence when He returns, perhaps very soon. As one of only two ordinances that Jesus left to His church, the Lord's table is a crucial element of Christian worship. It should never be observed thoughtlessly or flippantly. It should never be simply be tacked onto the end of another service as an afterthought. Every observance of the Lord's Supper should be solemn, dignified, and thoughtful. And I thought he wrote that very well. And I believe here at Bethel Baptist Church that we do take it seriously. We have designated services just for taking part in the Lord's table. And it's a privilege and a joy to do this with you. And I almost wish that we were doing it tonight. This is a very fitting message for communion. The next time that we do take part in God's table, let's remember all the aspects of going into what this is. This is a big deal. It's not anything just to take lightly. And it's for sure not about us. And that was the problem with this church in Corinth. They took the focus off of Jesus and the cross. And they started thinking about themselves more. So hope you'll be challenged tonight to know that the table is important. And there should be a reflection. And not just about what are we doing here, but what has Jesus done? What is He going to do? What is He doing now? And how is He working in my life? I ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads, please. We're going to pray. But I want to give you a chance there, right in your seat, to do some reflection, to think upon the cross. And I know that we're not doing communion tonight, but this is a chance for us to reflect upon the cross and Jesus Himself. And if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ today as your only source of salvation from sin.